Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome back to another amazing episode of Talking Foodie, where we talk everything food and interview awesome people with awesome recipes, awesome knowledge, and great ideas. As always, we are 100% sponsored by ChefAndBar.com. Chef and Bar is the newest and leading social media platform for foodies, chefs, cooks, and bartenders. You can post recipes, food pics, chat with our awesome foodie community on a wall, start a blog, and conversations all on one easy-to-use, 100% free platform. To sign up, go to ChefAndBar.com now. Well, guys, we have a pretty cool show for you today. We've kind of gotten off the road of interviewing chefs and cooks for a week or two. We're doing a special series on interviewing folks who help kind of bring in the chefs and cooks into the mainstream and get them well-known to the public. And that's what we're going to focus on today. So today we have a really cool guest named Lisa Incas with the Lisa Incas Agency. And we're going to ask her a few questions and see what the average or not yet professional cook or chef needs to do to become professional. Are you there, Lisa?
I am. It's so nice to talk with you, Bart. Thanks so much for having me on.
Hey, no worries. So, you know, we talked a little bit before the show, and you really got me interested in a few things. And we do have, you know, the basic questions to ask you, and hopefully we'll get to ask you just a couple more, because there's a couple things that I'm kind of curious about myself. But we'll go through the mainstream stuff, and you may even answer some of that while we're answering the basic questions.
Okay.
So first of all, let's get started. What is the Lisa Incas Agency? What do you do?
Okay, we're a full-service culinary agency, and what we like to say is we represent a world of culinary talent. And what that actually means is our agency works with cookbook writers, food writers, and chefs and restaurateurs. And we do a variety of things. Probably our most of our time is spent on the literary side, taking the concepts that food writers and chefs have and helping them shape book proposals and then selling them into either traditional publishers or helping them create custom packages to sell through their restaurants or retail outlets. And then many of the talent that we work with are fairly famous, and either in their subject matter or their area of the country geographically, and we will help place them in all kinds of arenas for special events and dinners and cooking classes, so to bring them forward into the public. And then the other piece that I've been doing for many, many years is media training, bringing chefs out from behind the stove and helping them present, again, whether it's live audiences or for TV shows or video or YouTube. Many, many years ago, our agency handled the PR launch of Emeril Lagasse's first book and also trained him for television. So this was before he launched on Food Network. So I love that we did that.
So you said that, okay, so Emeril Lagasse, you trained him for television. So is there a different mindset to a television cook as opposed to a book writing chef or a blogging chef?
Yes and no. I mean, the skill set that's needed if you're a restaurant chef, it really depends on who are you performing for. Are you doing your restaurant food on air, or are you trying to make it adaptable and easy for the home cook / home viewer? So a lot of times what people, average people watching videos, watching TV, don't realize is that everything's ready. That you have to consolidate in what a chef might do in their kitchen, you know, over 4 hours with a whole team of sous chefs. For television, you're doing something in 3 or 4 minutes, and it needs to look as if it's start and finish and in real time. But, of course, it's not. So understanding how to choose the right recipes, break them down, what are the message points? If you're on a show, what are you selling? You know, is it your restaurant, your food, your new book? A lot of times people don't think about the sort of why and what behind their opportunities. So we do a lot around messaging here, a lot around branding, helping people build, you know, the proverbial platform, and think about ways to launch, enhance, and move forward in their career path.
So, okay, so back to your specific agency here. So why did you specifically decide to start a talent agency for up-and-coming chefs?
Because I'm interested in food. I cook a lot. I love books. I mean, hard, hold-in-your-hand books. I have a personal library of almost 8,000 cookbooks. And I started a long time ago. I've had the agency for 33 years. So when I came into it, food wasn't what it is now. And I was able to pay attention to how ingredients were changing, how they were accessible, who was writing about them. And I was much more interested in sort of the culture, the history of food, not simply recipe books. There's a million, particularly now when you can go online, a million recipes you can get at the click of a button. But the understanding of what's vetted in a cookbook, you know, how do you know a recipe is good? A chef can be a brilliant chef behind the stove. Can he or she write a recipe? Often not. And so there's all these skill sets that we help put together and make the kind of affiliations, if particularly with chefs and who don't often have time to write books, you know, who do we put with them? How do we make this happen? When is a good time to publish a book? A book for a chef is almost always a branding tool. It's not the primary way they're going to make money. I'll be really direct about that. But it is a takeaway from their restaurant and about their food.
So I've got to ask you a question. I'm curious. So Emeril Lagasse's first TV show, was he nervous?
Oh, yes.
Were you
absolutely
nervous?
Absolutely. He had never done any kind of media appearance at all. He had no idea how to do this. And we worked with him for two straight days and then after that. But he was a great student, and he became a real showman with the concrete skills of being a brilliant chef. But, you know, now I've seen all the popularity of Food Network and Bravo and Top Chef and, you know, all the different reality shows. And so many more people want to be on TV and want to have that presence, and most of them will not make it. And I think one of the key questions for a professional, either a chef or a food writer, is, you know, why do you want this? Not everybody should be on television. If you're a food writer, television is going to help sell your books, but it's a very hard market to penetrate. So many people will write articles. That bloggers are huge. The blog to book market. Right now, I can tell you hands down, what publishers are looking for are social media numbers, i.e. platform. It's not so much your credentials, which of course count, but if you have a 250,000 Twitter followers, they're going to be a lot more interested in you than if you have a column in the Washington Post, which, you know, I think both have validity.
That's kind of backwards in a way, because it was 20 years ago when newspapers were the norm. It was, yeah. If you made it to the Washington Post and you were a food writer, you were it. You made it.
Now that was it. And I still think when I look at clients, if you're a writer for the Washington Post or you've been featured or the Times, the LA Times, New York Times, I mean, that has huge validity and gives you a lot of credentials. The challenge is the newspapers, a lot of them have gone away. Their space has diminished significantly along with the ad money. So the platform, the place of where these voices and this talent is coming out, is really online. And that's
right.
That's how people are finding them, and, you know, Food Network and Bravo, et cetera. I'm a huge PBS fan, too. I mean, I think there's also many different kinds of shows. The reality TV shows are great fun and drama and flair, but they're anything but reality. Whereas you go into PBS, and those are much more learning and educational. They need to be entertaining, too. but there's a greater emphasis on actually learning there, not competing.
Right. No, I completely understand. It's just amazing. So you may not be able to answer this question, but since we brought the social media spiel up, what do you have any suggestions for aspiring cooks and chefs to get a larger social media following? Is there a specific, is YouTube better, or is Twitter, or is Facebook, or combining all three together? What have you seen out there?
Good question. And to some degree, they're all very important. Twitter actually and Instagram tend to be leading right now in social media from what we're seeing and having the responses from publishers. Those numbers really count. One of the best ways to gain an audience is to say, who do I want to follow? So that you start following individuals and groups and conversations that have relevance to you, because most people will follow you back. You have to think about sort of putting out before you can take in or take away from.
Sure.
And you have to dedicate a reasonable amount of time. You know, it can be all consuming, but if a food writer is only online and not writing their books or their articles or their blogs, they're not doing their work. Same thing with a chef. But that constant, continual engagement within a parameter of juggling all that a professional has to do is what's really critical.
So what are the, if suppose I was a cook and a food blogger, and I wanted to be a famous chef like Emeril or like Rachel Ray, what would be the top three things that I should do in order to get there?
You mean if you were a writer first and a blogger
if
first?
I was just if I was a writer, blogger, and an amateur chef, but I wanted to be on TV, I wanted to be the Emeril of Food Network.
Don't give up your day job. I mean, the odds of that are small, but you have to put yourself out there. I mean, I would absolutely get some training for television if you haven't, or video and TV are interchangeable right now. I would think you have to start to have a presence in the marketplace. You don't just go from, gee, I wish this, to being on television. You have to publish. You have to be at the right conferences, the food festivals and fairs. I would say, most importantly, how and why would your show and what you would offer up be different from everything else that's up there? There's a lot of Me Toos. You know, what producers and networks are looking for is new, different, original content. Same thing if you're interested in publishing a book. The first thing we say is, what's your point of differentiation? You know, there's a million Italian books. There's a million books on how-to or general food. How is yours different? Why is it different? And that would apply to a TV concept as well. And then you have to start. There's the calls for competitions from the Food Network, for instance. You can submit. You have to do video. You have to, you know, start small, start local. Do your local television show. Practice. Get in front of a camera and practice. Emeril's first show was canceled. I mean, it wasn't very good. And what they found out was that he really thrived with a live audience, and they had been just taping him alone in the studio. So, you know, what will get you going? Good media presence is as much about entertainment as it is information, and people want to be able to feel that they have a connection with the food and an ability to do it and to be entertained at the same time.
So, and of course, contact someone like the Lisa Ekus Agency. I'm sure would help that process along, I'm sure.
We hope so. We've been doing it 33 years. So we've worked with a lot of famous writers and some TV personalities. I had a very, very a fun time and a real honor when Jacques Pepin and his daughter Claudine launched their first television, they're together, their first show on PBS, to work with them and help promote the show and bring it into the different markets around the country. And I work a lot internationally too. I mean, it's great fun to see who will translate literally and figuratively into the U.S. market, because everything is global now. You know, we can find and access the ingredients. The chefs are putting them on the menus. The food writers are writing about them online. So we have demystified and made accessible so many different kinds of ingredients and other cuisines. And that's what I really found fascinating. I am not a chef. I'm an avocational cook. I learn every time I train someone. Like, for instance, if I train someone who is an expert in Thai food, I am picking up information around Thai food and ingredients and techniques. So for me, I'm constantly learning while I'm helping people think about their marketing, their positioning. There is one thing I want to say that I don't want to forget, which is there's a wonderful book. It was not a book that we represented, but it's called Food Jobs, and it's by Irina Chalmers. And it's all these really cool possible jobs and careers in the food industry that most people don't think about. They think about, I want to be a chef or I want to write a cookbook, sort of one direction or the other. And this has all kinds of opportunities and options, and I love to send people there because it makes them start thinking differently.
Right. So how would someone, suppose someone wanted to get involved with you guys and they said, hey, you know, I want to give this girl a call and see what she can do for us. How would they do that? What's your
really
website?
Really easily. All they have to do, I mean, the website is Lisa, L-I-S-A, Ekus, E-K-U-S .com, LisaEkus.com, and they can send us a direct email at LisaEkus@LisaEkus.com. It's real, and there's also on the website, there's a contact form. There's also guidelines if someone's thinking about doing a cookbook proposal. We put a lot of information up online so we can be a resource for people. And then the best way is always to email first, give us background. What are you thinking? What do you want? I do a lot of one-off consulting because often someone may not be at the stage to be a client here, but an hour or two can get them in the right direction. And I love to do that. I love to help people that way.
So what's one of the first, and you briefly told me a little bit about, you're going to ask the client what makes them different, which is a great question, but what have you seen recently as a trend that's making chefs different, that gets them out there? Is there a specific thing they're doing different, or is it just unique ideas that they come to you with?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, they have to have real substance. I mean, there's a million Mediterranean, Middle Eastern restaurants. Why is someone like Anna Sortune at Oleana in Cambridge so successful and so different? And she's about to do her second book. I mean, there's something about how she shares her food, her knowledge base, the caring, and it's a quality. It's an immersion in a topic, and you know, there's a lot of really, really good restaurateurs, but that doesn't mean they necessarily are all at the top. And sometimes you're better off being a bigger fish in a smaller pond than the reverse.
Sure, it makes perfect sense. I think the information we've given folks today is actually really good, because there's so many people out there who are really curious about how in the world to get into the industry. They haven't done it yet, and they don't really know the first step. And I think it's probably important for some of the guys out there who want to do it. I know there's tons of people. I talk to people all the time who want to be professional cooks, professional chefs, radio or TV personalities, and all that stuff. So,
and they're all very different, and they require a lot of different skills, but they all have an interlocking piece of loving food and wanting to share that, in whether it's in the printed word, the online word, the plate in front of you. And that's what's so exciting about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it looks like we're going to wrap it up with you today, Lisa, but I really appreciate all the information, and I know this will serve some valuable purposes. We've gotten tons of email from folks who want to know how to get into the professional industry, and it's certainly not for everyone, and it seems that very few people right. actually make it, who even want to make it. So it sounds like a tough deal. I don't know. I hate to be discouraging, but better be a good heck of a good cook.
Well, and you've got to do your homework. You've got to go, you know, deep into it and put in time. As I said, the lisaeckes.com website will give you a lot of resources, and there's a lot of professional organizations that can be helpful. And talk to people. Talk to people you respect. Talk to people in the industry. Look at who's written the books that you love and who's worked with them. And you sort of, that networking and gathering of information is useful.
Awesome. Well, we're going to go ahead and let you go for today's show, Lisa, but I'm sure that people are very happy with the information you've given. It's definitely valuable information. We appreciate you coming on today, and I'm sure we'll interview you sometime in the future for a follow-up. All right?
I would love that, Bart. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care, Lisa.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, guys, that was a pretty good interview. Lisa Eckes, or Eckes, apparently I don't know how to pronounce her name either. It's very valuable information. That's very good information to know. I mean, how do you get into the professional world if you want to do that and make that income and get that personality out there? I think this is invaluable, and I think she's definitely worth reaching out to, if nothing more than just for simple information. I'm sure they return emails to people who want to learn more. Her website is www.lisaeckes.com. Check it out. Shoot her an email, ask her questions, or if you're really interested in moving forward, let her know that too. I'm sure she'll be more than happy to talk to you. We have really good shows coming up the rest of the week, Wednesday and Friday. We're continuing this series on how to break into the professional world with chefs and cooks. So make sure you stay tuned. If you're not a member of chefandbar.com, you might want to go ahead and sign up now. It is free, and you get tons of valuable information, tools, recipes, that sort of thing that will help you out. You can also talk to a great community of people. We have thousands of members, and they're always up to chatting with other foodies. So give it a try. In the meantime, be safe, cook well, and tune in. Don't forget, sign up at chefandbar.com. Have a great Monday, guys. We'll talk to you in a few days. Boom, tick-a-boom, 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 tick-a-boom.